Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media Progress is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. Hi, Dan.
No, I'm Alex.
And you are always, always more than welcome to join us. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. And that'll bring you directly into the studio with us. You can also hit us up on our live chat on Twitch at WikiCuriosity Media. You can find us on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show and WikiCuriosity Media. You can also find us on YouTube at WikiCuriosity Media. You can check out all of our archived shows at blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosityMedia. Or on iTunes at WikiCuriosity Media. And you can hit us up on TikTok at Wicked_Angel. So, it is another wonderful Wednesday night. Nothing exciting?
I wouldn't say really exciting. I'm just kind of, since Sunday, I've had basement work done. And, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Basement as in the house.
Yeah.
Basement. Okay. I didn't realize you guys had a basement.
Yeah, it's, not finished or anything. We kind of just throw stuff down there that doesn't go in the attic. But yeah. Yeah, we got it insulated and we're having a wall that's kind of like bulging out a little bit, so we're getting that fixed too. So yeah, they were working today and they were sanding grooves into the wall so they could put these strap things or whatever. I don't even care. What it is, but it got dust everywhere upstairs, and mother came home super furious about it, and I was like, well, what can you do?
I mean, you hired them to fix, not to clean.
That's true, and they couldn't really prevent the dust from happening, you know. They had a vacuum running, they had a door closed, everything was closed off, not with like plastic or nothing, but you know, it just got upstairs. So, and, you know, they, needless to say, dust got everywhere, and it was a very frustrating day for some, and a very eventful day for others. But, yeah. I'm also joined in my studio by a special guest who is about 40 pounds overweight and is about 3 years too old. But, yeah. His name is Scooter, and he is pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. I was just telling them about my special guest I have in the studio tonight.
Cat?
His name is Scooter, and he's 40 pounds overweight. And if you're wondering why is he such a special guest, well, it's because he's fat as fuck and never comes upstairs. But he doesn't much like strangers at all. So anytime we have someone who is unfamiliar come over, he bolts upstairs.
Makes sense. That's actually kind of funny because I just had to let one of our cats out of the studio.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll have my other cat, Snowball, in here, but today I got Scooter. I don't even know where he went. He usually hides underneath my bed, and I think that's where he went. I got a heater going, too, and he likes that. So, you know, it's Michigan, and it was supposed to be 66 today, but no, it only got to, like, 45, and it was fucking cold.
Well,
mentioning the dust earlier, you know, to reduce the amount of dust everywhere, I opened up the windows and the lower part of the house so air would flow and not get as dusty. Didn't help at all, but whatever.
Made the house cold.
I fucking hate Michigan.
Well, if it's any consolation, if it's any consolation whatsoever, our weather here has been just fucking weird. 2 days ago, it was supposed to be 61, did not get above 50 all day. Today, it was supposed to be, I would say, 70, 71, and it probably hit about 75. Like, I was actually, it was warm enough and dry enough, surprisingly.
At least you touched the 70s. We have not even kissed the 60s yet. I don't even think we've gone over 55 yet.
So would it make you jealous if I told you that I actually mowed my front yard today?
Not really, because I don't have to do that. I drove through my front yard today, if that's anything. The guy's truck was blocking the way, and I had an appointment to get to, and I just drove to the fucking yard. I do that from time to time. It does not get me any fans within my household.
Quit driving through the yard.
I've done it many times now, and the yard has looked the same. At least I'm not doing, like, donuts or nothing in the yard. I'm really just pulling out to get around cars and stuff.
Yeah. Well, at least you're not, like, destroying the grass.
Yeah. I mean, our yard's messed up anyway because we had crap done to the house last summer and killed our grass. So, oh no, the grass is dead.
Oh no, you're driving.
We have like two patches of grass that are fine, and I drove through one of them today. The rest of the yard is either lumpy, bumpy, has deer shit, or is dead from dog urine. So, oh no, my car went on the grass for 15 seconds.
Well, we've got a lot of, like, so it's the beginning of, you know, spring. So we've got a lot of crabgrass and nasty shit coming up. I've got to see if I can put some, like, turf builder down to kind of make the yard look better, which I haven't done in a couple years.
You know, I know a lot of people aren't a fan of turf yards or fake yards, but if I can afford it when I get my own house, that's what my yard's going to be made out of. I'm going to have a fake yard. I don't care. It'll look gorgeous, and I won't have to mow it. So kiss my ass. You and everybody else either have to spend so much time on a yard to make it look good, or spend a couple grand and make it fake.
Or what you could do is you could always do what
you can live in Tennessee where it rains all the time and the water, the grass is constantly being watered and it's always moist and humid and you just have good grass down there until it gets thick as shit and you got to mow it.
Yeah, but you can only mow it. So you try to mow it once a week and the day that you're off and you're getting ready to mow and it says it's going to be nice and sunny and beautiful, it rains the night before and the grass is all wet and then you get ready to mow it because you've given it enough time to kind of dry up a little bit, you know, enough so that you can get the lawnmower over it. Couple clogs here and there, not, you know, nothing real bad. You've got the mulcher going, it's fine. And you get the lawnmower out and you fire it up and you get ready to just hit the first part and all of a sudden, boom, it rains.
I don't run into that problem in Michigan, surprisingly. We don't really get that much rain. Really. Like, we get some. I say that as it rained today, but that's besides the point. Like, we'll get some rain here and there. I don't know, the weather up here kind of sucks. Unless you live in the Upper Peninsula, I think. I've not once said, oh, wow, I love this Michigan weather. It's just fantastic. Those words have never came out of my mouth. But you've never hear anybody up here say, oh, boy, I love the Michigan weather. Because the people who live up here and who are native to Michigan, born and raised, they're like, oh, it's just the best garstang state ever. You're lying to yourself, buddy. Because let me tell you something. It's not even top 50 of best states. If Ohio and California didn't exist, and the Great Lakes help you guys a lot, but if you live in central Michigan, not near the coast, you basically live in Ohio, and Ohio sucks. It's the worst state ever, and being from Michigan, I'm obligated to say that Ohio sucks. And I basically live in Ohio, minus the Ohio part. It's terrible. I hate it. Midwest, it sucks. Unless it's, like, actually Midwest, like, Tana. That's not even, that's, like, North. It sucks. I kind of hate the United States in terms of geographical stuff. It kind of sucks everywhere besides, like, a handful of places. And those handful of places have a bunch of people I don't agree with. It sucks. Our geography sucks here in America. It's terrible.
I will say, out of all of the states that I've lived in, and I've lived in a few, and I've visited many, I will say that Tennessee isn't actually one. Geographically, it's not one of the worst states. Especially,
surprisingly,
like,
I completely agree. It's not the worst.
You know, especially like Eastern Tennessee, because you've got the Appalachians there. Now, if you go like real East Tennessee, like to Sevierville and Gatlinburg and all that, you're in the mountains, period. You're in the Appalachians. But if you're in, like, you know, Knoxville area, Oak Ridge area, stuff like that, that's not bad. I mean, we've got some of the mountains to kind of protect us from some of the more severe weather that comes through. Like, I haven't seen a real bad snowstorm here in forever. We get tornadoes here. We get some thunderstorms, but a lot of the times Knoxville is, you know, kind of in that, that, you know, little protective area where thunderstorms always go around us. Really, the only thing we have to worry about is Oak Ridge blowing up. And then, you know, a bunch of nuclear fallout and all that good stuff. That's really all we have to worry about.
Yeah, and I don't mind Tennessee. I just kind of hate it in the summer because it gets unbearably ridiculously hot for no reason, and it kind of sucks. But
that's the downside, is we have there's a lot of humidity here in Tennessee, and that's, again, because of the mountains and the trees and stuff like that, especially during like July, August, and September. A lot of humidity, but I can tolerate the humidity and the heat during those months to have a more mild winter, you know, and have a decent spring and you know, a beautiful fall. I mean, when the leaves change colors here in fall.
Yeah, I will say Tennessee is one of the more prettier states in the fall. It's more bearable.
So, and then you look at, like, politics-wise, it's definitely not liberal. We know this. It is very much a red state, but it is becoming a more progressive red state. If that makes any sense. Any sense.
Well, we're a swing state up here. We've been red for so many years, and then we were red for, like, ever. And then that all switched, miraculously, crazily switched one odd day in 2020. It was just weird. Just like that, whoop, we're blue. After so many years of being red. I don't know how it could have happened.
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea.
I mean...
But
I don't know.
I mean, it's nice up here. There's, you know, I mean, if you're basically whatever you're into, they have it here. You know, if you're into guns, there are gun stores and ranges all over the place, everywhere. If you're into cars, they have car shows all the time, and they have some of the most beautiful, like classic cars, some of the most beautiful exotic cars. Like I've seen, it's. So
you,
I work,
you guys have a large Japanese, 90s Japanese car scene down there.
Yeah, yeah, we do, definitely. like I have, it, for me, so for where I work in one of the more well-to-do parts of town. It's called Farragut. And honestly, it's nothing for me to step outside. And to see like a Maserati or a Jaguar or a Corvette or a Porsche drive down the road just, you know, as a, you know, everyday occurrence, you know. At the same time, I've seen, you know, 70s Plymouth Dusters come into my store. I've had Teslas come in. I've had... You know, just some of the most beautiful, exotic cars just drive up and down the street. And that is literally a daily occurrence.
We have none of that up here. When I tell you, Michigan has got to be the most bland and boring, well, the part that I live in, at least, is one of the most bland and boring parts of this state. It's crazy. Big old SUV or a truck that someone drives. That's all we have. SUVs, trucks, and the rare occurrence of a sedan.
I mean, I can kind of understand that given the weather and the road treatments. Like, I would not want to drive a classic Mustang or Corvette or... you know, judge or anything down the street and, you know, have the salt tearing up the underneath of my car.
No, but the crazy part is, it's Michigan. You might be saying, well, Alex, it's Michigan. Yeah, but we have a major, major car scene here for the old classics, like the muscle cars. There's not a single foreign import car here. I'm sorry to say, we just don't have those. I saw a Mark IV Supra pass me today. I was like, oh wow, that's like a once in a blue moon thing. But yeah, we got a lot of old muscle cars here, and the fact that we don't see those anymore irritates me, because you see them in car shows and stuff, but you never see them driving out. Like, even on nice days, you might see the occasional old person in there. Car they've had since high school, and they restored it. But other than that, you just never see anything. Ever.
We have a couple of car shows here. One of the big ones is the Rod Run up in like Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area, Sevierville, where it's all matter of classic cars. And they go down the strip, and it's, you know, usually, I'm talking hundreds of cars, classic trucks, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, just beautiful, beautifully restored. They start out, I don't know where they start out, but they drive down the road, down the strip to show off their cars. It is gorgeous. And then we have Cars and Coffee, where they'll they'll have a parking spot. Usually it's at the mall, like on a Sunday when they open up late. And every car you can imagine. The last one I went to, there were a bunch of Mustangs, because that's what everybody drives here, is Mustangs. A lot of old classic cars, a lot of like supercars. A lot of dealers will bring, you know, the big supercars out, like the Nissan GTR, and the like the Audi. The S8, or the not the S8, the I don't. I just had
the R8.
Yeah, the R8. I'm sorry. And then there are a couple of rat rods there, where it was the chassis, and you know they build it up from where they can find. So, and it was actually pretty cool. So.
But. Sounds fun, only if Michigan didn't use stupid things on the roads.
So, and I mean, you know, if you have a fandom that you love, if you're into geek stuff, all kinds of conventions. We have Fanboy Expo. We've got CreepyCon. We've got just all kinds of different conventions where you can meet actors and stuff like that, and you can get merchandise and you can see cool things. CreepyCon is the one we go to every year because it's a horror convention. And it's pretty badass. So, but yeah, I mean, Knoxville's got everything for anybody. Except good, you know, house prices, because everybody from California is coming here to buy up all the land and the property.
I'll tell you on break, if you don't already know, but I'll tell you on break.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, either way. So, Tennessee's not... Knoxville area is not bad. You know, you've got little subdivisions like where I live where it's, you know, nice and quiet. You don't get a bunch of idiots driving up and down the road. You don't get a bunch of damn teenagers out doing stupid shit. It's, you know, I live in a housing area that nobody knows about. The end of a quote-unquote back road that nobody ever goes to. We're behind the biggest subdivision in our little town, and nobody knows we're here.
Yeah, it could be a good thing.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it's nice, it's quiet, it's peaceful, nobody bothers us. So, yeah. All right. We can go on break early if you want.
Yeah, we can.
And then get into tonight's show.
Cool.
If the buttons will work.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
What's up? Oh, I've muted the mic on screen.
Strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say it's hard talking.
I know.
Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight.
Yeah.
You're packing up all your things to leave.
Julie made the post. And I commented on the post. I was like, I literally live in Knoxville. And I
ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you loved me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would.
Show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
Welcome back.
And you can still join us either on our live stream on chat on at Wicked Curiosity Media on our live chat or call in 718-664-9735. Tonight we are talking about award shows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was some controversy, some shit that happened at the Oscars this year.
Yeah, and we can talk about that. But I would like to bring up another topic of discussion around surrounding award shows.
Okay.
Whether they are needed, whether we should keep watching them, it's whether if they're important or not. Like, do they matter? Because I know people have their opinions on award shows, and I'm probably going to regurgitate stuff that they have said, but I have some new, not really new, but maybe fresh opinions about them. But first... Okay. Will Smith smacked the shit out of Chris Rock. Now, there are literally only two sides to this, and people have taken up arms on at least one side.
Yeah, yeah.
And the amount of memes that have come out of this, my meme portfolio could not be fuller. I have so many memes from this. It's not even funny. And Will Smith would probably smack me if he saw them. But I'm not an award show host, so if Will Smith smacks me, I have right to defend. But I mean, so did Chris Rock, but, you know, good on him. Kept his composure.
So
what
let's
the
talk
hell?
About, let's talk about the reasoning behind the slap.
Let's talk about the amazing joke that Chris Rock made, in my opinion. I thought it was an awesome joke.
Okay. So, Jada Pinkett Smith, who is Will Smith's wife, suffers from alopecia, which is hair loss.
It's a hair loss disease
yeah.
stuff. And no, it's not cool to make fun of people's diseases.
It's
but,
not, but...
If your name is Jada Pinkett Smith, it's okay. For the reasoning, I am uneducated on such topic. I just like to make very awesome jokes about it. Apparently, Miss Smith cheated on Will a while back. And openly admitted to it on her little talk show or whatever it was. And Will was like, okay, yeah, awesome. She cheated on me. And I didn't really know nothing about it. And there may have been other men.
So from what I understand,
disregarding the fact she was unfaithful.
Bottom line,
she was unfaithful.
Yeah.
The joke, however, was not about her being unfaithful.
No.
But the jokes that came out, after that, I will forward some your way because they are very awesome and I can't say them on air. But but the joke was, he said, he was Chris Tucker. He's a comedian,
Chris Rock.
So he's going through, you know, doing whatever, and he gets to Jada Pinkett Smith. He's like, Jada Pinkett Smith, I love to see you here tonight. You look great. I can't wait to see you in G.I. Jane 2.
Which is, in my opinion, it is fucking hilarious.
Okay, now here's the thing. Oh, you can't make fun of someone's disease. Shut the fuck up. Okay? She shaved her head. She's like, I am embracing this disease. I can't be taken down because of this disease. I am strong. This disease does not hold me back. Oh, you made a joke about my disease? What the fuck? And
so
you can't, okay, making fun of somebody is one thing, but saying I embrace my disease, it does not hold me back. And if someone does something and it holds you back, not really you, but we all know who's pulling the strings between Will and Jada. Okay. The joke was freaking hilarious. I laughed. It was awesome. I didn't watch the Oscars live. It was sent to me by an associate. And I looked at it, and I was like, that was awfully fake. And then Will Smith started saying the F word. I was like, that's not fake. They don't have that on TV. Like the man said himself, that was the greatest thing that happened on TV.
Yeah. And I will give it to Chris Rock. Like, it was, he kept his composure. Like, he got hit, and he was like, wow. I just got smacked by Will Smith. This is awesome.
Did you see what P. Diddy said after that?
I missed that.
It was like after everything and the night was settling down and he was in his car and he was just giving his two cents on the matter. And he goes, you know, no matter what happened on that stage tonight, we're going to move on with love, peace. But you got to admit, Chris Tucker's got a hell of a chin. I was like, well, yeah, he got smacked pretty damn hard.
He did. And let's be honest. Will Smith was kind of a bitch for smacking him. Like, if he was really doing it in anger, he should have gone full fist, hit him.
Well, the problem is you're at the Oscars. You have cameras surrounding you. Chris Tucker tells the G.I. Jane joke. Boom, Will starts laughing. Jada rolls her eyes. Yeah. He tells the joke. Boom. Will starts laughing. He's like, oh, shit. And then Jada rolls her eyes and is just not having it. And then Will was like, I have to go smack him now? Is that how that works?
and that's the thing. So that's what I don't understand is... So,
why do you have to smack him? I don't get what that
like,
is.
Like, so the whole action confused me because Chris Rock is up there telling jokes, and that's what Chris Rock does is he tells jokes. Admittedly, the G.I. Jane joke may have been slightly in poor taste, but at the same time, I mean,
there
God,
have
why
been
do
worse
you
jokes. There have been worse jokes made at the Oscars, Golden Globes, Emmys, literally any other award show. I mean, look at what's his name, Ricky Gervais.
Gervais, yeah.
At the Golden Globes that one year, he tore everyone up.
Yeah.
He did. Nobody was safe. Not even Tom Hanks. Nobody was safe.
Like, he called everybody out. This was during the whole big Epstein thing. Like, he called
everybody out.
And
he still got paid for it, and it was okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but Chris Rock makes a G.I. Jane joke. And he gets smacked.
So Chris Rock makes the joke. Will Smith laughs because it's funny. Jada Pinkett Smith gets butthurt about it Will looks at Jada and is like, oh shit, I guess I shouldn't have laughed. Now I have to act like a man? Like, I'm sorry. What Will Smith did was a total bitch.
It was in poor taste, and it was not professional. Considering 20 minutes later, he got an award for best actor.
Right. And then
he deserved the award. The film that he did, it was good. That's why.
But,
and then the tantrum after, the thing that I don't get, he walks up, slaps him, is walking back, and is grinning while he's walking back, and he sits down, and Chris Rock is like, wow, I just got smacked. And he's looking around for confirmation, like, that shit just happened. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the whole, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth. And that was, again, too much. Poor taste. And then to yell it again, you're not tough. I'm sorry. He plays a lot of tough characters. But that was just nonsense, unprofessional, and hypocritical to an extent. I would have found it more funny if it was fake, to be honest. Well, I find the joke that happened beforehand very funny, and then what transpired was, like, awkward, but it was, like, a train wreck. He's like, it can't really look away.
Yeah.
If it was a fake moment or a staged moment, I would have been like, oh, okay. And I kind of thought that's what it was for a while. I was like, okay, that was staged.
That's cool. What I thought. And there were a lot of people that were analyzing the footage and everything and saying that it was fake and he didn't really slap them and stuff like that. And I mean,
when you look at the freeze frame, like, people took freeze frames out of that, and you see Chris Rock's face of just, like, shock and awe, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, the Oscars, that's just something you think, like, the Oscars at Golden Globes would do. Like, it's so far-fetched, too good to believe.
Yeah.
Too good to be true. And the fact that it's true just makes me that much more happy.
So I guess we know what side of the fence you're on.
I'm on Chris Rock's side. Full on.
Okay. Okay.
I think what Will did was unprofessional and not cool. He apologized, whatever. Get over yourself. You know, I don't hate Will Smith for it. I'll still watch his movies. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in that situation, it's a bit unprofessional. Not really called for.
The joke, think it was a little over the top.
Poor taste. Reactions to the joke, very poor taste.
I
agree. Two negatives don't make a positive in this situation.
I mean, he could have just been like, hey, that's not appropriate. Or, you know, something to that effect.
After the skit or whatever, you say, hey, man, that wasn't cool, blah, 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 blah. And then you make Chris Rock look like the bad guy, except even then, it's a poor joke, but it was funny.
You know, then Chris Rock would have, if Will Smith would have taken to Twitter or, you know, said something at the after party or whatever and said, hey, you know, my wife and I didn't appreciate the joke by Chris Rock. You know, it was in poor taste and it was, you know, making fun of my wife's disability and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not
like
saying
a normal
that
human being.
Yeah. And Chris Rock would have been like, oh, shit, I just got called out on live TV and, you know, and on social media and shit like that. Now I have to make an apology post and stuff like that. And that would have been the correct way to do it. You know what I mean? Instead of walking up on live TV, walking up out of your chair, slapping Chris Rock, and then sitting down, because now you just look like Jada's, because you laughed at the joke, you saw her, and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm in trouble. I better go do something. Now I got to look like a man and go slap this guy, which slapping is a bitch move anyway. And then you walk back, you're like, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Like, first off, Will, you're not ghetto. You don't have a ghetto fucking bone in your body. The most ghetto you have ever been was when you were in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air show. That is the most ghetto you have ever been. I'm sorry. And it just I was like, Will, what kind of drugs you taking? You know, like, how much had you had to drink that night? What kind of drugs were you taking? And how much is Jada pulling your strings right now? Because we all know Jada's in control of the relationship because she gets to fuck whoever she wants, and you can't fuck anybody but her. And you got the look of death when you laughed at a joke that was funny, and now, you know, and then you just made a whole ass fool of yourself.
That wasn't even the worst thing that happened at the Oscars that night. That was just, like, the thing that got most public, like, most popular. They had Amy Schumer hosting the Oscars.
Oh, God.
She has got to be one of the worst comedians. I don't even think she is a comedian. But she's a comedian. She shouldn't be, because she sucks and she's not funny. And then there was another thing that happened last night that was just not funny. Interesting in the slightest. You know, Samuel Jackson won an Oscar last night. Or not last night, the night of the Oscars. He won an Oscar for honorary something or another. I can't even remember. But it was awarded to him by Denzel Washington. And he won an Oscar. And nobody batted an eye because Will Smith got cranky and butthurt because his wife's condition got made fun of. You know how many people, like, actually get picked on because they have a... I'm not just trying to say alopecia isn't serious, because it is. It affects many people, and it is serious. But when you are a Hollywood actress and very famous in your own right without Will...
Yeah.
And you do things in the past that people don't like you for already, you're going to get made fun of for it. I'm sorry. There's people out there that get made fun of for having cancer and are just doing their thing, and people make fun of them, you know. Get over yourself. Like, there's worse problems than your alopecia. And to make matters worse for herself, she was not known for having the best of, what's it called? Hair treatment. I don't know. She dyes her hair all the time. She bleached her hair all the time. She braided the shit out of it all the time. You can do that. But when you have a condition that makes your hair fall out, doing that stuff isn't going to help it. So you just made it worse. And then you embrace it. I've embraced it. I am a strong, powerful woman. I sleep with other men, and besides my husband, I've embraced it all. I'm a strong woman. You know you're not. You've lost respect from many people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that have... Like, see, I was never a big fan of Jada Pinkett Smith. I mean, she's done some decent acting.
I have only seen her in one show, and it was one of my favorite shows ever. She's in Gotham. And she plays a crime lord, and she did very well in that show. I had no idea who she was. I looked it up, like, who plays such and such in Gotham, and it said Jada Pinkett Smith. I was like, holy, that's Will Smith's wife?
I think she's been in, I'm actually looking it up. Okay, she was in Matrix Revolutions. I think she was Niobe. And so she was Niobe in, you know, the Matrix movies, which is cool.
Yeah, and I didn't know who she was. I didn't know who she was until I looked her up.
You know, I mean, she's got some...
Yeah, she has some notable roles, but... Get over yourself. You are an actor who is not very... You're not a very good person. You might be a good person. I don't think you're a very good person. And you might not think I'm a very good person, but I don't care.
She was Gloria in the Madagascar movies.
Yeah. She was Gloria from Madagascar?
Uh-huh.
Chris Rock was in Madagascar. Wasn't that Chris Rock's?
Uh-huh. He was the...
His... Yeah, he was the zebra.
Yeah.
Gloria was the...
The hippo.
The hippo.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No, the hippo got together with the giraffe, so whoever played the giraffe, but I still find
I think the giraffe was Ross from Friends. Can't remember his name right off the top of my head.
I think you're right. But, yeah. The whole situation is just poor taste. But, you know, you live and you learn.
Scream 2. Nutty Professor. I want to say she was in... I could have sworn that she played a minor role in Independence Day, but I don't see it on here. I thought she was, you know, the stripper in Independence Day, Will Smith's girlfriend or whatever. But I don't see it.
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. Okay. You got to give me 2 seconds. I got to turn the light on in the studio. I forgot again. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll be back. 2 seconds.
So, with that being said, the Oscars are what we're talking about tonight. Given our opinion, we just talked about what happened on last night. And now we will give our opinion on award shows and whether they should still be a thing.
Okay, so I'm going to go through, like, the 10 most popular award shows.
10?
Just name them off. Yeah.
That's a lot. Are they, is it, like, MTV awards and stuff?
Nope. They are the big awards.
Cause I only know of 3 of them for movies. The Golden Globes, Emmys, and Oscars.
Okay, so I'm going to go through them real quick. And then, you know, we'll talk about them. So you've got the Oscars, which is number one, obviously. Then you have the Emmy Awards, the Primetime Emmy Awards, which honors TV shows. And then you have the Golden Globes, which... I think the Golden Globes is like a TV show slash movie.
I think they're the exact same thing as the Oscars, but they have less categories, but more like they do movies and TV shows.
Yeah. Then you have Grammys, which, you know, is music. You have the British Academy Television Awards, which is probably like the Oscars. Then you have the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which is, so the Screen Actors Guild Awards are, you know, people within the guild voted on by people in the guild and stuff like that. You have the ESPY Awards, which is, you know, for athletics, individual and team, and sports-related performances. Then you have the Video Game Awards, Spike TV VGA Video Game Awards, the Daytime Emmy Awards, which is like soap operas and stuff like that. And then you have the MTV Movie Awards.
Okay.
So those are the People's Choice Awards is not even on there. As,
because,
you know,
People's Choice does not matter.
So, I'll be honest, in my opinion, I don't think any of them matter.
Well, no. So last year, the Oscars was going on, and there was a big uproar about people trying to cancel the Oscars because of certain...
racially biased, yeah.
And I was like, oh, shut up, it's whatever, blah, 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 blah. It's the damn Oscars, who cares? this year, I kind of cared about the Oscars, not going to lie, because there was a few movies that I was like, oh, these are Oscar-worthy movies. And I thought they should have won, and they did not win, and I think it's stupid. And yes, I'm acting like a person who is grumpy because their Oscar movie didn't get picked. But I want you to explain something to me.
Okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
Well, two things. The best picture, best movie, whatever it was, whatever it's called, Oscar for the best movie.
Best picture.
I believe it's called. Was called Coda. Coda.
Coda.
And it was a movie. It was a. I don't even know what it was. But it was only streamed on Apple TV. That was the only place you could watch it. Explain something to me. How is it fair? Apple TV is hands down one of the most exclusive streaming services because you have to, A, have an Apple or Apple devices for it, and then B, the amount of people who want to watch Apple TV is very slim. The amount of people who watch that movie is very small. It could be a good movie. Congratulations, it's a good movie. Not everybody watched it, and it was not mainstream. In my opinion, that's not mainstream. I don't think it should have been fair to loop it in with the other movies. Yes, it was so good that it was able to contend with other movies, but it wasn't available to everybody. So there's some people who don't have Apple who can't watch that movie.
Yeah.
There's some people who don't care to have an Apple who didn't watch the movie. There's some people who don't care to have Apple TV who did not watch the movie.
Yeah.
Why it was eligible to win blows my mind. Part two. Dune wins in almost every single movie category besides
that
Best Picture.
Yeah.
They won for visuals, special effects, camera work, cinematography. There was like two more. It basically won every movie category besides Best Picture. How do you win everything besides Best Picture?
Okay. So do you know how the Oscars – okay, so it's the Academy Awards. It's nicknamed the Oscars just because of, you know, the guy. Do you know how the Academy Awards are voted on?
By a bunch of people in the Academy.
Yes, members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Yeah.
As of December 2020, and I'm looking at numbers right here, there are 9,427 members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Right.
They are the ones that vote on these. It has nothing to do with what people like, what people want.
Right.
And
so I'm just saying, how does it make sense that Dune wins 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Oscars, all relating to how a movie is made and everything? Best film editing, best sound, best picture,
original
best make
score, production design.
Best costume design, best everything. But it not win the overall thing. That doesn't make sense. That's like saying, like, an NBA team goes 82-0, and then they're, that's different because there's playoffs. That's like, you put two cars up against each other. One car is better in every way, but the car to the right of it wins. It makes no sense. It makes zero sense.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I don't know what their criteria is for voting. And that's
another thing I kind of have a nitpick about, not to cut you off, sorry. Encanto wins Best Animated Feature. Cool. Pixar is owned by Disney, isn't it? It's a Disney thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Disney had three animated movies out of the, I think, five or six in the category. They had a 50-50 chance to win, or roughly, you know, I'm exaggerating just a bit, but it's there. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, how is that fair? A studio should, if they're going to keep doing these stupid-ass award shows, a studio should only be allowed to submit one movie per category.
So the thing is that, so the problem with that, and I'm looking at it right now, you had Encanto, Luca, and Raya and the Last Dragon all nominated for Best Animated Feature. The biggest issue that I see is that there aren't a whole lot of studios that put out animated features. Disney is the biggest. We know this. They do Disney productions, then they do Pixar. The only one that was able to compete with them for even for just a couple of years was DreamWorks. And then DreamWorks has kind of fallen off the map a little bit. You don't see a whole lot of DreamWorks projects out. So
and here's the third problem of my problems with the Oscars. There were many, 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 many animated movies that came out in 2021. Now, hear me out. I might be sounding a bit ridiculous here. And yes, I'm a DC fanboy, and I'm going to point this out. DC had 5 animated movies come out. Illumination had one come out. And the two that I watched that were DC were freaking phenomenal. And they still didn't get in because of what, enough people didn't watch? Because if that's the case, then how did the Best Picture movie win? Because I know enough people did not watch that movie.
So we already established the fact that...
I don't think it's any secret that the Academy pulls and picks what they want to win and stuff. That's my problem.
Obviously, yeah.
Is why it's still held in such a high regard. Like, he's an Academy Award-winning actor. Whoop-de-doo. That almost means nothing to me at this point now. Like, they used to be like, oh, he's an Academy Award winner? Oh, my God, he's so good at acting.
Yeah.
And then you get actors like Leonardo DiCaprio that go 30 years without winning an Oscar. And then gets one. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I will say, though, they did have a public voting thing for, like, what they thought was the best. And the thing that shocked me was the Flash scene, Flash entering the Speed Force in the Zack Snyder cut, won best fan moment of the year. That's including the Spider-Man. And another movie that came out, I can't remember, though. So that moment in Zack Snyder was voted out by fans more than the Spider-Man guys.
So I don't think
that was surprising to see. I don't think enough people cared to vote for Oscars because there were a lot of people that knew that the Oscars were going on.
Hell, I only knew the Oscars were going on because of the videos after the Oscars blowing up on my damn TikTok.
Yeah, well, I saw something that the Oscars were happening, and then I looked at the nominees, and I was like, okay, this is pretty strong contenders this year, except for the fact that, you know,
so
Disney takes up an unfair amount of the thing, because, let's be honest, those movies are good, whatever, cool, but Disney... as some pool, like, if we don't win, then you guys are screwed, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. Like, before I was like, okay, yeah, it's whatever. But this year was just crazy for the amount of shenanigans that went on. This year's Oscars was just ridiculous. The same thing with the Golden Globes. Golden Globes has the same issue. So doesn't the Emmys. They all have the same issue.
And I agree.
It's getting to the point where it means nothing to me, but people will see, like, oh, he's an award-winning actor. Congratulations, he's an award-winning actor. What does that really mean whenever it's 9,000 people voting on something that they're so freaking stupid that they basically voted Dune the best picture without voting it the best picture? Let's be honest. It won every single category, besides Best Picture, because that Cuda movie was a low-budget, exclusive Apple TV movie. It can be a good movie. I don't care. It shouldn't have won.
Okay,
it's,
so...
it's that doesn't add up. You hear me?
I hear you.
That does not add up. It's just
mind-boggling. I'm 100% behind you on everything that you're saying. I hate award shows. The only award show that I've ever truly liked watching was the Scream Awards. And that was on... it was on Spike TV a couple years. They've only done four of them. 2006, 7, 10, and 11. And they, you know, gave out the Chainsaw Award for the best, you know, picture, horror movie picture. I'm being biased because I'm a horror movie fan, but...
you know what we should do? We should start our own award show and start handing out our own awards. Because I feel like that would be awesome. Yes, it would only be two people voting on it. I still think that would be better than 9,000 people that are so stupid. That boggles me. That boggles me.
Okay, so let's do this then. Let's go through the categories and the winners real quick.
And the nominees?
And the nominees?
Okay.
So I'm on Rotten Tomato. I just looked up Oscar winners and I went to the Rotten Tomato one. So we can go down the list and go through and we'll, you know, we'll discuss on air what the, who the nominees were.
Granted, we haven't seen some of these movies.
Right. Right.
But still we can give our 2 cents because it's America. Yeah. We can do what we want.
So we'll start off with Best Picture.
Okay.
The nominees were Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. So West Side Story was a remake done by Steven Spielberg. And Don't Look Up is actually a, if I'm not mistaken, a Netflix exclusive.
It is.
Okay.
I can see Netflix exclusive being in there because you can get Netflix on literally everything anymore. Apple TV is different. You have to have an Apple product, which is thousands of dollars. Yes. I'm shitting on Apple when I own an Apple. It's different. I don't have Apple TV. I don't stoop that low, okay?
Although I think I can get Apple TV on my
some smart TVs you're able to get it.
Yeah.
It's like a downloadable app. Because I don't think Apple has their Apple has like their own Fire Stick thing, but it's stupid and it didn't really work that well. But needless to say, Apple TV it's too exclusive and not enough people watch it. If you look at the numbers, no way. I can see a Disney Plus exclusive making it. I'd be okay with that. A Netflix exclusive, okay. HBO Max, okay. Something like Apple TV, though, is no.
Yeah.
Am I being unfair? No, because that's not... I don't think it's fair that enough people watch that movie. It could be... I'm not dogging on the movie. I haven't seen it. It could be a great movie.
Right.
Good
right.
for them. But that's just my opinion. I don't think it's fair whenever... I'm comparing it to the other big contenders, like Dune, who is obviously my pick for this year. Best Picture out of those nominees.
Okay. I can understand that just because of the thematic elements of Dune. My pick, honestly, was Nightmare Alley. And
okay.
And the reason for that is because of the complex storyline and the ever-changing mood of the movie. It was such an involved movie. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's on HBO Max, and I think Hulu as well. But it is a very intense movie with a lot of twists and turns. It's kind of classified as a horror movie, but kind of not. It's Guillermo del Toro, which, I mean, he's just a phenomenal writer and director anyway. But that would be my take, would have been Nightmare Alley.
Okay. Next one?
Best director.
Oh, okay.
Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza. Kenneth Branagh for Belfast. Jane Campion for The Power of the Dog. Steven Spielberg for West Side Story. And I have no idea how to pronounce his first name. Hamaguchi for Drive My Car.
I personally think Kenneth Branagh should have won that one for Belfast.
I agree. I've never seen Belfast, but I saw the previews for it.
I've seen enough of his movies. I've seen enough of his movies to know that he should have got it. But I'm sure Jane Campion, with The Power of the Dog, deserved her win. So I don't have an issue with that.
Okay. So now we've got Best Actor. Javier Bardem for Being the Ricardos. Benedict Cumberbatch, The Power of the Dog. Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom. Will Smith, King Richard. Denzel Washington, The Tragedy of Macbeth. This, I don't know because I've never seen any of those movies.
I think any of these they could have won. Like you could... This is one of the ones where you could just pull one out of the hat and they would deserve the win. That's a tough category for that.
I agree. And I will give it to Will Smith. Will Smith is a fantastic actor. I also like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Andrew Garfield, I hear, did really, really good in Tick, Tick, Boom. But it was like a musical thing, and I don't really like musicals.
I'm not a musical
fan. But his acting range in that movie, I guess, was tested, and he did pretty well with it.
Okay. So we have Best Actress. Jessica Chastain, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter. Penelope Cruz, Parallel Mothers. Nicole Kidman, Being the Ricardos. And Kristen Stewart for Spencer. I don't even know why Kristen Stewart's up there. She is a horrible actress. I guess they just needed a fifth person in there, maybe.
I'm going to give it to Jessica Chastain. She got that one. I think that one was kind of clear cut.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can give it that. Best Supporting Actor. I can't pronounce these names. Sirian Hines for Belfast. Troy Kotsur for Coda. Jesse Plemons, The Power of the Dog. J.K. Simmons, Being the Ricardos. And Cody Smith McPhee for The Power of the Dog.
Two for Power of the Dog. I don't know. I haven't seen any of these movies, but I like J.K. Simmons.
I was going to say, I like J.K. Simmons. Anything that he's in, he's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, and that Coda movie is disqualified in my personal Oscars. I'm sorry to say, it could have been a fantastic film. Not saying it's not. It's just not fair. But, yeah.
Okay. I agree. Best Supporting Actress. Jessie Buckley, The Last Daughter. Ariana DeBose, West Side Story. Judi Dench, Belfast. Kirsten Dunst, The Power of the Dog. And Anyuani Ellis, King Richard.
I think the winner deserved her win. I can't really say anything, but I'm going to give it to Kirsten Dunst because I think she got shit on at the Oscars. There was a faceless joke that was made about her or something. So I give it to her to boost her morale.
Okay.
And because I like her in Spider-Man.
Okay. I like Judi Dench. Dame Judi Dench. She's such a phenomenal actress.
I have to watch this movie Belfast. Is it on anything?
Please
don't be a TV movie. I'll lose it.
No, I think it's on like Netflix or Hulu. Something like that.
It is on Apple TV. But it's not an Apple TV exclusive. See, there's the difference. It's on Vudu, Google Play Movies. It's on YouTube and Amazon Prime. You have to buy it. You have to buy every movie, so I don't really care.
Okay. Best Adapted Screenplay. You had Coda, Drive My Car, Dune, The Lost Daughter, and The Power of the Dog.
Dune. That's
Dune for me.
Pretty easy. It's a pretty easy one for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're taking a movie from the 80s that was 3 hours long, and either you loved it or you hated it, and now you're recreating it, and you're giving it... Okay, so it's adapted from a book, if I'm not mistaken, by Robert A. Heinlein, who is just a phenomenal science fiction writer. Like, I mean, he established the genre. A little crazy, but he established the genre. So I would give it to Dune simply because it's hard to take the story like that, that is actually kind of boring, and, you know, adapt it and make it somewhat interesting.
Yeah.
So, best original screenplay, you have Belfast, Don't Look Up, Licorice Pizza, King Richard, and The Worst Person in the World. Oh, so Coda got best adapted screenplay. So in this one, Belfast won.
Sure, there's your song.
I
like Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, I can see that. Then we have Best Animated Feature. We have Encanto, Flea, Luca, The Mitchells vs. The Machines, and Raya and the Last Dragon.
I'm going to do a write-in and give it to Batman and the Long Halloween Parts 1 and 2. Same story, split into two parts. It's the same movie.
100% agree.
That's my write-in, vote in. If you don't like it, kiss my ass. Because they were fantastic.
I agree.
Although the animation for Disney is hands down the best, but for story and stuff, no.
Out of these five, I'd give it to Luca, just because I enjoyed it.
Out of these five, definitely Luca.
Yeah. It was an original story. It was very well conceived, very well done. I haven't seen Encanto. My kids keep telling me I need to watch it, but I haven't seen it. And then Raya and the Last Dragon was good. We actually reviewed both of those on Movie of the Week. And I just liked Luca a little better. Best international feature, I'm going to skip over because...
I don't watch international movies, I'm sorry.
No. Best documentary feature, I'm going to skip over.
Well, there's two. There's feature and then short subject.
Well, I'm looking at best documentary feature right here. I'm just going to skip over that.
Yeah, I didn't watch either of them.
Okay.
Well, you just skip the documentary stuff. Okay. We don't watch documentary. That's for nerds. We're geeks.
So we have best cinematography. We have Dune, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, The Tragedy of Macbeth, and West Side Story. So Dune won.
Which
I don't agree with. Okay, so if you look at...
Go ahead.
So when we're looking at cinematography, we're looking at... like camera angles and stuff like that. Not editing, because that's another one. But we're looking at camera angles. We're looking at shots. We're looking at shot setup and where they have the camera, how they have the camera, and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dune was kind of a very plain type movie when it comes to cinematography. The best cinematography in that movie was the fight scene between Jason Momoa and the other guy. That was the best visual or the best cinematography in there.
I don't know. I liked the beginning when they were on the planet before they moved. I think that was shot really well. I don't know. I thought Dune was shot really well. It didn't have, like, inventive shots, but then again, most movies anymore don't, and if they are, they're not appealing. Like, they don't look very good. I thought Dune was shot very well for what it was. I thought it had some very interesting shots, some very engaging shots. The fight scenes that were shot very well. The panned out shots were very nice. I don't know. I thought Dune was shot really well.
See, for me, Nightmare Alley was a lot better because you had some of those wide shots. You had some of those close-in shots. It was, I don't know. I am a fan of Guillermo del Toro. I haven't seen all of his movies, obviously, but I'm really a fan of his and how he does his movies. It's like Tim Burton with a horror twist. You know, it's very dark, very film noir. The camera angles, he does some amazing things with cameras to get the shots that he wants, to get the feeling of the shots that he wants. I don't know. For me, Nightmare Alley just would have edged out Dune. I mean, Dune was good. Don't get me wrong. Dune was good. There wasn't really anything inventive in Dune. And, you know, not really inventive in Nightmare Alley, but Dune just had a lot of typical shots, whereas Nightmare Alley had, you know, a few of those shots that really brought you into the movie, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, best film editing. We have Don't Look Up, Dune, King Richard, The Power of the Dog, Tick, Tick, Boom. And, of course, Dune wins that category. I'm going to agree with that. I would say that for the shot that they were trying to do and what they were trying to accomplish for the movie, I think the editing was fantastic and just absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I'd agree. Dune won that one, fair and square.
Okay, now we've got best costume design. So we have Cruella, it was the first time we're seeing that movie. Cyrano, first time for that one. Dune, Nightmare Alley, and West Side Story. So Cruella won best costume design. And honestly, I can see that. I haven't seen the movie. I've seen like the previews for it and a lot of the previews. And the costume design within the movie was spectacular from what I saw. Dune was fairly easy.
Dune's was very simple costume design. West Side Story, I feel like that was pretty simple too. Like that's just early 1900s clothing.
Yeah, 1950s, 1960s. It's the same thing with Nightmare Alley.
Sorry, it's just a lot going on in the house.
It's the same thing with Nightmare Alley. Nightmare Alley had a lot of 30s and 40s. You know, shots. I think it was shot in the 40s. I think it was set in the 40s. A lot of different costumes for that. Not a whole lot of original costumes.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know if there's really a winner, because Cruella had some crazy costumes and they were hard to make and stuff, but they don't look... This might be an unpopular opinion and a mean opinion, but some of them just didn't look good at all. It's like fashion, modern-day fashion anymore is like they just throw shit at someone and then walk them down the runway and it's fashion. Like, anything could be fashion. That's what they did in Cruella. Like, they kind of just took a handful of spaghetti and hucked it at the wall, and everything stuck. And it was just kind of bleh out there. But they were hard costumes to make. I can't knock them for that. And the costumes that were meant to be taken serious, I guess, they looked good. I don't know. I just don't. Visually, I'm not a fan of the costumes, but I can understand the hard work that went into them, if that makes sense.
I think Cyrano is a big contender for best costume design. Again, I didn't see the movie, but looking at the previews, I mean, it's set in the what is it, the 1800s, I think. And those costumes are very hard to get accurate and to get right and stuff like that. So I would say Cyrano should have probably edged out Cruella just a little bit.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
So then we've got Best Makeup and Hairstyling. We've got Coming to America, the second one, Cruella, Dune, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and House of Gucci. The Eyes of Tammy Faye won, which, I mean, good on you. I mean, Tammy Faye had some...
Which one won?
The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Okay, yeah, that one was like Cyrano. It was sent back in the day. At least the clothing looks like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tammy Faye was a, if I'm not mistaken, was a big movie star in the 70s and 80s. And getting that kind of makeup and hairstyle is difficult because we don't do that anymore. So I can see that.
I was thinking of a different Jessica Chastain movie that she was in. Yes, I can see that.
So we've got Best Original Score, which is overall movie soundtrack, however you want to call it. We've got Don't Look Up, Dune, Encanto, Parallel Mothers, and The Power of the Dog. Dune is actually the one that won.
Yeah, because Hans Zimmer, duh.
I mean, yeah. Let's move on. Hans Zimmer.
Yep. Yeah, I can't really argue that.
Nope. Best Original Song, Be Alive, from Beyonce Knowles, Carter, and Darius Scott for King Richard. I am not even going to try and pronounce that because I don't know Spanish, by Lin-Manuel Miranda Dos. Yeah, I will fuck that up. Down to Joy, Van Morrison, from the movie Belfast. No Time to Die, by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. Movie No Time to Die. Somehow You Do, Diane Warren, for 4 Good Days. The winner was No Time to Die by Billie Eilish for the movie No Time to Die.
I think it is known that I am not the biggest Billie Eilish fan at all. It deserved the win. I liked it. I didn't watch No Time to Die, but I listened to the song, and it seemed to fit.
Okay. I haven't heard the song at all. So, but, you know, I'll give you that. So we have Best Production Design. We've got Dune, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, The Tragedy of Macbeth, and West Side Story. Of course, Dune won that category. For me, it's a tough choice between Dune and Nightmare Alley. Again, I really liked Nightmare Alley. I mean, it was one of the better movies that I've seen in 2021. But Dune just ekes them out a little bit. Just because of the type of movie that it was. But a very, very close second for me would be Nightmare Alley.
Yeah. I'd go with Dune.
Okay. Best Sound, we have Belfast, Dune, No Time to Die, The Power of the Dog, West Side Story. Dune wins that one.
Yeah. It almost seems like Dune was made for this category, for Best Sound.
Yeah. I agree, 100%.
Like, that was, like, the one thing that, like, you watch Dune, and then all the viewers, like, the sounds in that movie. It was kind of a no-brainer.
And now we get into the last of the big ones, because the other ones below that pretty much don't matter. And this one, this category, I have a lot of issues with. So we have Best Visual Effects. We have Dune, Free Guy, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, No Time to Die, and Spider-Man No Way Home. The winner was Dune. I wholeheartedly disagree with that with that choice, wholeheartedly.
I see how it won. I don't disagree with the choice, but I think Spider-Man should have won that one.
I think either Spider-Man No Way Home or Free Guy should have won. If you look at, I don't know if you've seen the movie Free Guy. It's on HBO Max right now.
Yeah.
Or Disney Plus. And I think, I know, I'm pretty sure it's on HBO Max. So the visual effects in Free Guy, because it's a movie based on an NPC in a video game that becomes sentient, essentially.
Yeah.
And just some of the effects that they did, bringing video game effects into live action, because it's all live action. It's not like Ready Player One, where it was computer-generated, animated, stuff like that. I mean, it was all live action, and there were some amazing visual effects in Free Guy. Like, just blow your mind visual effects.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, same thing. I mean,
it's
literally...
visual effects in the beginning weren't all too, like, great. They were good. Like, they weren't, like, Black Widow bad. But they weren't anything, like, whoa. But the end of the movie...
Yeah, the big dragon...
Is where the end of the movie is where the visual effects budget went.
Yeah, the big dragon, I mean, come on. And then you have Spider-Man No Way Home, which is absolutely littered with visual effects, and it should have won. Absolutely.
This one had
won hands down.
So sometimes I'm a little bit hard on Marvel for their use of CGI, for good reason.
Yeah. They rely a lot on CGI.
No Way Home, surprisingly, had a decent amount of practical effects. More than normal. Kudos to them. Spider-Man should have won.
Right. The thing is that one of the things we don't see a lot of is superhero movies winning Oscars. You know, we don't see a lot of the geek films, like sci-fi doesn't win Oscars. Well, I can't say that because Dune won a whole bunch.
I was going to say, unless your name is Dune and you win every single category besides Best Picture, which is still appalling, but whatever. I'm crazy.
You know, Star Wars, they won a couple Oscars, not a whole lot. They should have won more.
Yeah.
You know, superhero movies, geek movies just don't win a whole lot of awards. Generally, it's the...
And the thing is, this is my problem then, with the awards. These movies are some of the best movies of all time. But they don't get taken serious because they're not at award shows.
No.
When like, you think of the best movie of all time, what do you think?
When I think of the best, see, that's a difficult
category. When people are talking about, like, what is hands down the best movie of all time, I can think of the two that people argue about the most. Three.
One of them is Endgame.
Movies of all time.
Of all time.
Overall. Godfather.
Yeah.
Citizen Kane and Schindler's List. Those are the three that I hear most often, and I'm going to get crucified for this, but those, in my opinion, are not. They're great movies. Personally, not my favorite movies of all time.
You're a little younger for that generation, but...
I just think it's one of those things where it's old and it's set on a high pedestal and nothing can be better than it. But then you get a different perspective from it and realize that, well, hey, some of these things are better than that. It's the realization I had with The Dark Knight. Like, I thought Dark Knight was peak Batman. And then I grew up and put my big boy pants on and realized that Ben Affleck's Batman is the best. You know... It's not to say that those three movies that I mentioned aren't the best. just saying.
A lot of the issues that I have
explore
with...
more movies.
A lot of the issues that I have with these award shows is that they focus on... They don't focus on, like, the popular movies, I guess you could say. They take some of these, like, off-the-wall movies and are like, oh,
yeah,
well,
it's the thing,
look.
It's the problem I had with Joker. I see what, exactly what the movies that are made to win awards.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was the thing that you were going for, but that's what I'm going for. Like, Joker, great film. I solely think that it's a poor comic book movie, but it's a great general movie. It's a movie that wins awards. It fits right into the Oscars. You take Dune, for example. It's a fantastic movie. It wins in both popular vote and whatever bullshit this is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't...
And then you take a lot of these... you take a lot of these other movies. Like, No Way Home. Okay? Let's take No Way Home, for example. You could have thrown that into cinematography.
Oh, that one...
Right
in vote, by the way. No Way Home for cinematography. But it should have been nominated because it was shot very well. Like, some of these movies are just... It's kind of getting blatant of how much these are getting paid off. And yes, it's going to sound hypocritical because you say, well, Dune just paid them off. Well, how did Dune pay them off when they won every freaking category besides the big one? You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't...
Yeah.
There's no...
It's all a bunch of political bullshit now.
It's
not... It's
just getting blatant and obvious at this point of what is going on. And yes, last year I was like, well, it's not that obvious because I didn't care. But this year, it's obvious. It's been obvious. I feel like it's been obvious the past few years now. But
the Oscars have become more political than they have about appreciating the movies that are being made. You know,
if
people are
fan vote or popular vote for best movies, and if you took these categories and instead of having the Academy vote for them and had people vote for them, this list would look very, very, very different, like drastically different. Half these movies wouldn't even be on this list because I'll tell you what. Again, might be good movies. Who watched The Power of the Dog, Tragedy of Macbeth, West Side Story, Licorice Pizza, King Richard? Who watched these movies? I haven't heard a single thing about these movies. I don't know if it's because it just doesn't pop up on my stuff because it's not my interest. I have not heard a single thing about these movies.
Okay, so let's do this then. Let's you and I create our own award show, because it's still early in 2020, or 2022, wow. Let's come up with our own categories. Come up with our own nominees. And then we'll take it to a popular vote. We can either put it on Facebook and have people vote. Or, you know, we can take it to, like, you can take it to your friends and, you know, people up there. I will take it to my friends and the people here. And we'll do a popular vote. We'll do categories like best DC movie of 2021, best DC or best Marvel movie, best superhero movie, best sci-fi
we
movie,
do...
best horror movie.
The same categories, minus some of them that don't matter, like Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Animated Feature, or Film, and we'll like throw in a wild card one. And we'll do those five categories, and we'll pick certain movies from each one that we think should be in there, and then have people vote on them.
I can see that. Okay, so we take... So I'm actually going to bring up my document here. Give me a second, because I'm gonna type these out, and you know we will.
course there's still movies that need to come out this year, but you know, we could be weird. I said, of course there's still movies that need to come out this year, or we can be weird like the Oscars and have them have our award show in the middle of freaking March.
Well, I was going to say 2021. You know, movies of 2021. Well, come on. Why aren't you working, you piece of junk?
So none that have come out this year?
None that have come out in 2022, no.
Okay. Because I have at least three of the best picture that I think should go to best picture.
Right, but they're all... Okay, my computer is running really slow right now. I don't know why. It's not letting me bring up a Word document.
That's okay. We can worry about it later.
Okay.
So, yeah. With our rant about the award shows over, do we think they need to still be around?
Because
I have other reasons besides just griping that I don't think they should be around.
So they're okay. So I think some of these ones that have gotten way too big and way too full of themselves, if that makes sense, like the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, all that, I don't think they should be televised, honestly. Like, nobody cares. You know?
No, I think the Oscars have had the lowest ratings. And you can't blame it on COVID because everybody's fucking home. The Oscars has had the lowest ratings in the past 3 years than they have ever.
Because nobody cares anymore because of, you know, movies like Coda winning Best Picture. Nobody you got made.
Seriously, who watched that movie? I'm still dumbfounded about that. Watched that movie?
Nobody I know has Apple TV. Nobody I know watched that movie. Now I want to get the 7-day free trial of Apple TV to watch this movie to see why it was fucking Best Picture.
I think it was a musical, by the way.
No, I won't watch a musical.
I don't know. I don't know. There was a lot of musicals that got put into the Oscars this year.
But
yeah, drama slash musical. See, that's the thing. Drama movies, hands down, get voted best movies 9 times out of 10.
It's because there's so much going on in them. Like, no, I don't think these award shows that are voted on by members of a guild or, you know, members of an academy or anything like that, I think those need to go away because they're just not.
Coda came out in theaters.
Did it?
Oh, airtimes. Never mind.
Oh, God. I'll say, I don't
remember that's showing movie theaters.
I don't remember ever seeing a preview for it.
Are they still showing this movie in theaters almost 9 months after? It came out in August. That's August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. It's basically April. 8 months later, and they're still showing it in theaters? How much did this gross box office? If it's anything less than what I... Oh, Lord.
You're really on this about Coda, aren't you?
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not even a bad movie. It obviously isn't because it was filtered into the Oscars. That's not the thing that I'm mad about. I'm mad about how it even got in there because it grossed less than... $1.1 million box office USD. $1
million.
Yes. Dude, that's how much Disney pays their freaking extras. Are you serious? It had a budget of $10 million. What the fuck? See, that right there, that's you ever hear industry plans for, like, music? Like, people who have no talent whatsoever, but they just box the billboards?
Yeah.
They get top of box office, $1 million. It made $1 million, and it had a budget of $10 million. Yes, this movie could be good.
But?
Who fucking watched it?
Yeah.
People who haven't seen the movie, clearly, oh, my God. I'm getting I'm beyond. I've gone from appalled to frustrated. I'm about to get angry. Hold on. I don't know if it'll give it to me. Cause I think it'll say, oh my Jesus Christ. Dune earned a domestic $100 million.
And that's, so that, while being released to HBO Max simultaneously as the theaters.
Yeah.
Because it was released to theaters and HBO Max at the same time. Because that's how we watched it, was on HBO Max.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch this movie, Coda, and I'm not getting Apple TV. I'm going to freaking pirate it. That's a joke. Legally, that's a joke. I don't pirate movies because I have every streaming service under the sun. But I'm not getting Apple TV to watch this damn movie. I'll watch a movie review on it and then contemplate wasting my free trial that I've held on to for many years.
God. I don't. Yeah, we're gonna have our own award show. That's just all there is to it.
Jesus Christ!
We're gonna have the Cinephiles Awards.
I don't get it. I really don't. I'm not crazy. Like that doesn't make sense. Like even before the show, like that was the thing that prompted me to text you. Like, hey, what if we talked about the Oscars? Because I thought I was going crazy. It's like, there's no way that it can. It's not the fact that it's Dune and I liked Dune. It's the fact any movie, it could have been any movie. It just so happens to be Dune. One in almost every category. This has the one that kind of matters a lot.
Yeah.
It's just wow.
I don't get it. I really don't. So anyway, award shows, stupid.
Yeah, they have lost my respect. They lost the respect that I never had for them. But they lost the chance of me getting any respect.
They need to have award shows that are voted on by the people. You know,
or just not have award shows, period. Why does there have to be a winner and a loser for some of these things? Like, if a movie is good, it'll show that it's good with the reviews, with box office, with whatever else. It does not need – movies don't need a award show for this.
No. Like, I don't go to a movie because Academy Award winning – you know, Academy Award winner Will Smith is in it. I go to a movie – anymore nowadays, people watch movies because of the content of the movie, not because some actor is in it.
You know, the last Will Smith movie I have ever watched that I remember watching was I Am Legend.
You watched Aladdin, didn't you? The
no.
Live action? You didn't watch live
nope.
action Aladdin?
No. I seriously think the last Will Smith movie I have seen was I Am Legend.
Okay, now I have to look up.
Now you gotta look. Oh, didn't see any of these.
Okay.
I know I've watched the Men in Black movies and iRobot.
Okay, so I watched Gemini Man.
Oh no, Suicide Squad was the last one or the most recent one that I've seen. And that movie was terrible, so that doesn't even count.
Wow.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We got to do this a different way. Let me see. Oh, come on, damn it. Hold on. Because we've only got a few minutes, but now I have to look up the most recent Will Smith movie that I watched.
Probably Aladdin. Aladdin came out pretty recently, unless you watched the new Bad Boys movie.
I did not.
Okay, it was probably Aladdin.
Hold on. Let's see. Hancock 2, Karate Kid 2, what? These are all in pre-production. I want actor. Okay. King Richard, Will Smith, Hattali, Bad Boys for Life, did not see. Gemini Man was the most recent. in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Aladdin before that, Bright, Suicide Squad.
I've seen Bright too, but not really. I like watched the first 20 minutes of it.
I mean, I've seen a lot of his movies.
I just haven't seen any recently. That's not to knock Will Smith as an actor. We're just saying. We don't go see movies because they have Will Smith in them. We don't go see movies because they have such and such in them.
No.
At least I don't.
Now, I will watch a movie because of a director. Like, I will watch
If there's a certain actor, a certain director attached to the film, then it'll intrigue me more. But I'm a fan of some actors. I don't go out and watch all their movies. Like, I like Leonardo DiCaprio. Have nowhere near seen most of his movies. Maybe seen a handful. There's just some movies that intrigue me more than others.
See, I'm more likely to watch a movie because of a director than I am an actor. You know, Guillermo del Toro, Guy Ritchie, Tim Burton, you know, directors like that, Robert Rodriguez, directors like that, I am more likely to watch their movies versus the actors that are in the movie.
Right. I pick my movies off of the subject matter, like if it's a superhero film or if it's a Star Wars film or if it's a... action film or war film, then I'll gravitate more to those rather than like the director. Because when I go out and watch a movie, I watch the movie and then afterwards I'll look up, unless I like can already tell or know. But
yeah. Now, admittedly, I watched The Gentlemen because that was back when I was picking up movies from the store to watch for movie of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, the movie The Gentleman, I picked that up specifically because it was a Guy Ritchie film. I knew nothing about the movie, and I was like, oh, hey, Guy Ritchie directed this. I'm going to watch it. Nightmare Alley, I watched it because Guillermo del Toro did it. The movie Clown, I watched because Eli Roth did it. You know, Quentin Tarantino, you know, same way. I will watch his movies because he did it. Tim Burton, same thing. But again, like I said, for me, it's more about the directors because of the style in which they create their movies is a lot better than just having an actor in the movie. Like the movie Nope. I'm going to go watch that, not because of the subject material. It's interesting. But I'm going to watch it because it's a Jordan Peele movie. And the two that I have seen of his have been absolutely fucking fantastic. Like, hands down, some of the best movies I've ever seen. I'm more likely to watch a movie if it's a subject matter, like, you know, Marvel, DC, Star Wars, Star Trek, stuff like that. Or if it's done by a certain director, not because there's a certain actor in it. Now, if it just happens to be a certain actor in it, then great, yeah. You know,
I'll probably end up liking it a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not going to go watch Mission Impossible because, oh my God, Tom Cruise is in it. Arguably, I hate Tom Cruise. But, you know, like Top Gun 2, I'll go watch that because of the subject material. Not because of the actor.
Yeah.
Because I don't like Tom Cruise. We all know this.
I mean, I don't think there's any, like, actors or directors that I hate. There's just some that I just are like, I really don't feel like watching these.
Yeah.
Like, that affects me sometimes. Like, there will be an actor or something. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but they'll just rub me off from the movie. Just like, I'll pass on it. I don't really feel like watching it sort of thing. But
yeah.
you know, I try to not let those sort of things affect me, or else I wouldn't have watched the Batman. Yeah.
Okay, we're down to the last, 7 minutes of the show. Really good show.
Yeah.
As always. You know, I love it when we get
into it. I knew we could stretch it 2 hours.
I had no doubt. I had no doubt.
Because
that
goddamn movie Dakota, God.
You spent at least 15 minutes going on about the movie Coda. I'm not going to lie. You spent about 15 minutes.
And not a single time. And not a single time did I say it was a bad movie.
No.
I was just confused.
You were appalled by the fact that...
It's the Academy. It's not the movie. It's the Academy. It's like, it's not you. It's a me situation. It's not your fault, Coda, that I have a burning hatred for you right now. Until I eventually watched the movie. It's the Academy. Piss me off.
Okay. Real quick, I want you guys to stay tuned to the Facebook page. I don't know if we're going to put the votes up there, but we might.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
We'll see. Stay tuned for, updates on that and all that. It'll probably be a couple weeks before we can get all of our votes tallied and all that good stuff. So, look for the very first Cinephile Awards in April. Probably mid-April at some point. Next week, we have a very different style show for you next week. We are going to be picking two different species from two separate franchises and pitting them against each other. I don't know if we fully agreed upon.
We're in discussion of what two species, but
and
how we want to set it up. So stay tuned for that. It should be interesting.
Yeah. But, if you have any ideas, hit us up on Facebook, message us, or if you know us personally, let us know about what species you would like to see go up against each other, or what characters. It can be species, it can be characters, that you would like, that would never interact with each other, that have never interacted with each other. We're not doing a whole Freddy versus Jason thing, or, Alien versus Predator. It's like, Predator versus Ewoks. Who would win? Stuff like that. Not Predator versus human or Alien versus human, because that's been done. Nothing has been done.
Well, on that note, I have one of my suggestions that I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
And it might be unfair, because it definitely is unfair, but I think this one wins. But we'll see.
Okay. We'll discuss. But anyway, all right. Last 3 minutes of the show, I want to thank Alex, as always, for, gracing us with his presence tonight.
Yep. It's always fun.
All right. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our followers. Thank you. We do love you guys. We do appreciate all the follows, all the likes, and everything that we get. We do appreciate you guys. Support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, please, please be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Fallen from Grace podcast. Every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles. Every Friday night, for Note by Note. I do believe we are having a show on Sunday. We do not have a topic yet, but we will, and we will have that up and ready for you so you can watch it and chime in. Yeah, I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday night. Have a fantastic, great week. We'll see you back here Sunday. We love you guys. And enjoy.
Good night, everybody.
All right, I've ended the live stream. Let me go ahead and end the episode.